listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey, Chris, what are you drinking there?
Oh, you never seen one of these before?
No, what is that?
Oh, man, this is a brewery in Austin, Circle Brewing. They're right near my house, right up on Breaker Road. They got their own brewery with a bunch of stuff. This is actually, you're gonna think I'm lying. This is, I think, the best American Hefeweizen I've ever had, Circle Brewer.
Get out.
It's made in America. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's high praise coming from you.
Well, take a sip of this thing. Try that.
All right, let me see.
No. That wasn't the Hefeweizen. That was the IPA.
Yeah, no, that was the fantastic.
The Ladybird. Yeah, that's good, too. Man, they make a lot of good beers. And like I said, you can come visit them at their tap room right down the street here from me on Breaker Lane. It's delicious stuff, and they actually became the sponsor for the website, oneofus.net.
Wow, good guys, and they live right down the street from here?
They certainly do, and you can even get their beer in convenience stores now.
Ah, convenience store. I'm going to just walk over to Circle.
Does your genome predict your face?
You just add the word talk to it.
No, that's the point, is you shouldn't have to for DNA in the face to bring up fun stuff.
Oh, how about an exclamation point?
Nope. Does that really work?
Let's see. DNA in the face!
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
Hey, it's Jess.
And this is not live.
This is the first time we haven't done it live in a while.
So. Yeah, yeah.
It's been months. Good.
Exactly.
It's been months.
And we are happy campers to be talking about what today, Regan?
Three topics today. Topic number one, describe your childhood boogeyman. If you didn't have one, make one up. Topic number two, which commercial jingle or slogan has yet to escape your vernacular? Topic number three, what is the most defining characteristic of your face? Your eyes, your nose, your mouth, mole, smile, tell us about it.
And we are pleased as punch, like super pleased
super
as punch.
Pleased.
I guess like, you know, on a personal and professional level,
yeah.
To have on our podcast for the first time,
yeah.
Comedia Gogo friend,
yeah.
Personal best friend,
yes.
Mr. Nick Bush. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. I have to go.
Okay, understandable.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought this was something else.
Sorry, we didn't contact your agent about this. We just
well, no, you approached me at Albertsons earlier today.
Man, you haven't lived in San Antonio in a long time.
Albertsons is gone?
Yeah,
Albertsons is long gone.
What? So I was at the Handy Andy today.
So... our listeners.
I was at Kroger. I was at Wiener's today.
So for our listeners that aren't in San Antonio, do you have an Albertsons?
Maybe.
Do you have a Kroger?
Maybe.
Do you have a Publix?
Yep.
Let us know.
Yeah.
So okay,
or Ralph's.
So our friend Nick Bush has made a success for himself. We're all very proud of him as an actor. And you've been accomplished. You have an IMDb page.
I do.
Yeah. So for people who don't know who you are, can you just kind of list some of the cool stuff that you've done?
Sure. I have been a professional actor, I would say, for about 18 years now.
And you live in LA.
I live in LA.
And you born and raised in San Antonio.
Born and raised in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And I've lived in LA since 2004. And
wow, 14 years.
14 years.
Yeah,
I know. So I've done a lot of commercials. I've been very lucky to work in commercials.
Super Bowl commercials.
Super Bowl. I've had three.
And three?
I'm sorry to not know the number. I'm a little embarrassed. And
No, that's, well, man, that's a great thing for success. Like, I can count how many times I've been on TV. Three times. Yeah. But that's three Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah.
Holy guac.
So everyone in America and the world
has seen his face.
Absolutely.
Especially wives.
Yeah.
Because you know how they're like.
They love the commercials.
They love the commercials, yeah.
I feel like you've seen me get, like, lose more hair over the years.
Which is great, but it changes you up, so you're not just typecast.
Pays the bills.
Yeah. Right,
hell yeah.
I'm saying,
it's been awesome. I've known Nick Bush since I was, I don't know.
Fifth grade.
Yeah.
The year would be like 1989, 1990.
Yeah, maybe.
Wow.
We're both up there.
Yeah.
But it's awesome.
Jess
was
in college.
No, I was already had a family of four and moved on Don Draper style.
Good for you.
But it was awesome, you know. Yeah, man, 14 years. I remember when you moved out there.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go out to LA and I'm going to freaking make a living as an actor. And we're like, awesome. And then now you've been doing it. Like, that's what's so cool. I remember
I've been very lucky.
One of the Denny's commercial that like early on, and he's like, I'm just eating breakfast.
And I'm like, you're living the dream, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting paid.
So, okay. So, for people that don't know how, like, the production of commercials are, you had a spit bucket for...
Yeah. Anytime that you're going to eat something on camera, you'll have a spit bucket next to you that you can spit the food out when the take is over.
But you get to take that home with you afterwards, right?
The spit bucket or the food? Bucket.
Both. I mean, it's your food. It's
part of your mouth. Can you eat or do they prefer you not
eat? You can.
Okay.
But with the Denny's specifically, I was kind of forced to eat it.
Okay.
Because the camera was scanning across the whole restaurant,
right,
getting everyone eating, including myself and this other guy at our booth. So I had to be eating this Grand Slam breakfast. Mm. Consisted of lukewarm eggs over easy with hash browns, sausage, and toast. And I had no idea when the camera was on me. So I just had to keep eating.
All right.
So I just kept eating lukewarm hash browns and sausage. And then they would yell cut, and I'd spit, but...
You'd already swallowed everything?
I already swallowed, because I don't know what's going on. I got to eat. I can't.
Lucky bastard.
And then, as soon as we were done shooting, it was lunch.
They're like, what's for lunch?
Steak and salmon. I still remember.
Really?
Steak and salmon.
Damn.
That was lunch.
So that, but that's like a good fucking lunch, but you've been eating...
Lukewarm.
Eggs and sausages and hash browns.
Garbage. Yeah.
Was it good?
I mean, it was Denny's.
It was Denny's breakfast. But that's the thing. It was legit Denny's breakfast.
Yeah.
It wasn't like...
We were shooting at a Denny's. They were making it.
It wasn't like a star McDonald's burger where that ain't what a McDonald's burger looks like.
No. It was legit. And they were making it. So after a take, I'd get a new plate.
Oh, man.
A new fresh Grand Slam breakfast.
Fucking A, dude. Yeah.
It's great.
That's a binge eater like me's freaking dream.
Yeah.
Just constant food coming
to you. This breakfast buffet. Dude, let me ask you this. Out of gluttony, did you eat the steak and or salmon?
Oh yeah. I think I took it with me back to the hotel.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
We were shooting in Dallas.
Yeah.
For some reason they wanted to shoot at a specific Denny's in Dallas. Because it had the right light fixtures.
It wasn't their flagship Denny's.
It was.
Oh, okay.
It was the newest Denny's
model that they had.
This is what all of them are going to look like. Later.
Yes.
Way to go, Texas.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's like I said, living the dream.
Living the dream for 14 years.
Man.
So we're very lucky.
So we're just talking about commercials because obviously we're just really impressed with the free stuff.
Sure.
But what about film and television?
Film or TV? I've done some fun stuff. I was in Parks and Recreation. I was in The Middle. Mm-hmm. I've done – I was just in Grey's Anatomy last year.
All my students watch that.
I was in L.A. to Vegas where I played a guy that goes to a dominatrix.
Yeah.
Sweet. My character's name was Dog.
He dressed like a – I saw a picture of it.
I saw the picture.
In leather like a dog.
That's nice.
It was great. I had to be on my hands and knees for the shot.
Nice.
But what was the word we were using earlier, the term? As a white guy – you love that, right?
Like, wait,
did you have to pay for that?
What do you mean?
To be
actually, Nick's one of the few. So we have a thing where we figure most white guys are into like weird stuff, but not Nick's never been into weird stuff.
You're vanilla?
Yeah.
You don't want to get treated like a dog?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't like leather.
Yeah.
But publicly.
I don't like
but
food.
Once a podcast is off.
No. I mean, I've known him
drop
the whole time.
Yeah.
Not at all.
You can leave the food and leather and the like weird, like really. Not weird.
Nick
like,
Bush.
Weird
style,
is the wrong word.
Nick Bush style is just no sheets on the bed. That's just on a all mattress. Right.
So they don't get dirty.
Yeah. That's Nick Bush style.
I've changed. I like nice sheets.
Good pillows.
A lot of thread count. You know.
You've changed, man.
Hollywood's changed you.
LA, fuck you.
No sheets. Who the fuck was I with no sheets?
You're Nick Bush, man.
Wait, did you know his sex life that well that you're like hanging out, like watching VHS tapes?
Just eating a hoagie while he's just having sex over here? Yeah,
really. Having sex by myself. No sheets in the bed.
Like, throw some sheets on me. That's just you being you.
Don't turn the light off. Leave it on.
I've known you since the fifth grade. Crunch, crunch, NBA Jam, NBA Jam.
That's how it is. You know how it is.
No, I don't.
Hey, but technically, I've been roommates with both of you.
You've seen us both naked.
I don't think he's seen me naked.
Yeah.
I've never seen him with his shirt off.
Ooh.
Neither. Okay.
He refused to take his shirt off.
Still kind of do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're all kids that swim in the pool with our shirts on.
Yeah, 100%. I've become one of those
people. You weren't one?
I was for a little bit, and then I thinned out a little bit in high school. And then shirts and then back off. To now where, like, shirt.
Dry fit.
With the sleeve, dry fit, long sleeve. Nice. No dash of sun on me. I freak
button
out.
Up. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. This button up dry fit shirt.
I'm in a suit.
You're in trunks, whatever nylon suit.
I look like Michael Phelps, like, before he gets in the pool with the hoodie on. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm in the water as that. You just see my eyes, the goggles.
So, you're a family man.
Yeah.
Married.
Uh-huh.
Little girl. All right. How old is your little girl?
She's 7.
And now she's had a stint with some fame.
Yeah.
From what I understand, right? Yeah. And what has she accomplished?
So she is...
How old is she?
She's 7.
Seven.
And she is the voice of baby Moana in Disney's Moana from 20...
That's history.
14.
It's history.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's going to. She's a Disney princess.
Her voice.
She is a Disney princess.
She is a Disney princess. Her voice is going to go in the vault.
It's wild.
That's crazy.
And musical credits too, as well. Yeah. Right?
She had to sing a song.
Did she? I haven't really inspected Moana.
Yeah, it's in, like, when you listen to the song, like, it says
it's the first main song. It's called "How Far You'll Go."
Whoa.
Which was written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote Hamilton.
That's amazing.
I was in town when she was either. Start like trying to do some recording. I just remember I was lucky enough to be able to go to the Disney Animation Studios
and, what? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and hang out and see. It was when Big Hero 6 was coming out.
Yeah.
It was already out and they were just starting to.
So, what they had to do was they had created a water sequence where the wave is a character in the film. It guides her on her passage, on her journey. And so they needed to test the water. So, they put in a baby Moana, just to test it of, like, what this would look like. And they asked my wife, who works at Disney Animation, her boss produced Moana. Her name is Osnot Sure. My wife's name is Elise. So they asked Elise if we could use Lulu to come in and record. And we were like, sure. And so they had her put on headphones and Elise headphones, and they fed Elise the line.
Yeah.
And then so Elise would give Lulu a line reading of what to say, and she would.
How old was she when she was doing that?
She was like 3.
3. All right. Yeah. Damn, that's tough.
Wow.
Directing a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And it was lines like, it was just like laughing and say bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a line that was cut out. It was certain death. Because
it's a
story that
it's in the storyline.
Yeah. And so she said surfing death. And they're like, that's pretty good. We should keep that.
Yeah, exactly. It's adorable.
They didn't keep it.
Because they surfed in the movie. Yeah. Right. So surfing death.
And another line was, I want to be a navigator. And she said, I want to be an alligator.
Well,
also cut.
Man. It could have made Princess and the Frog, though.
Yeah.
Two.
That one. So they record it, and it's just a test, and then it just kind of keeps making the cut each.
Oh, nice!
Each edit,
awesome. Yeah.
And they do lots of edits.
Sure,
right.
Like every 3 months is a new edit of the film, and her scene just kept making it.
Right.
And so the movie came out in 2016, I believe, and so like by September, it came out in November. So by like October, we were like, I think it's in.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like no one's told her that it's cut. It's in. And then they asked her if she would record a bit for a song. And she was reading.
Like 5 or 6 at the time,
right? She was around 5.
Yeah.
And so we recorded her line for the song on my wife's iPhone. In the car. And they kept that recording.
What?
That's amazing. Like, yeah. She submitted it and the engineer was like, yeah, we'll just use that. It's perfect.
What?
And so,
but that's how good iPhones are, bro.
Disney animated features. Like,
it was recorded on iPhone, so they just put it through, you know, the Disney machine.
Disney.
We got a $3 billion machine that'll make it sound like you recorded it in studio.
That's so awesome. So you are a Disney king.
What? Thank you for saying that.
Because your daughter's a your daughter's a Disney princess.
Yeah.
So you are a Disney king. So
how many Disney kings have you had on your podcast? Be honest.
Four?
No.
We've had the fuck out.
Cinderella's dad, dead.
Yeah.
Snow White's
rest
dad,
in peace.
Dead.
Rest in peace.
Princess and the Frog's
Mulan.
Dead.
Mulan's dad was
not... No, he survived.
Oh, he was the one that threw her into the concentration camp.
Yeah, we didn't have him. We didn't have him.
Ariel's dad.
Ariel's dad is you?
He's a god.
Oh, Neptune.
Neptune.
No, yeah, he's King he Triton. Did a commercial.
King Triton.
King Triton, yeah.
Oh.
King Triton.
The greatest abs of any king.
Yeah, absolutely.
By far.
Yeah. The greatest
not gorgeous. Neptune.
I guess we I was gonna
the
say,
greatest guys, building structure of the late 80s, underwater building structure.
Yeah.
They're all shaped
fat women are evil.
Yeah.
So not only teachers. Like not only are you two both fathers of daughters,
yeah.
but you, I think both of your wives are obsessed with Disney. Like, cause like,
so her wife, working there, she's still a Disney freak,
big time.
That
it was her dream location to work. She's always wanted to work for Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
She grew up wanting to be the voice of a Disney princess.
Ah,
she so actually had that Louis. Dream.
No,
you stole my dream.
Deep down. Deep down.
Hey, you know, but I get it. You know,
yeah.
It's like, you know. Like, damn it. I was hoping my son would make the big leagues.
But
and he does.
But like maybe like years down the road, you know, she's got a cigarette. She's like, I made you. You're nothing without me. Yeah.
Like mommy dearest shit.
No, see, I
see, that's what I'm into. Like, I want my wife to be mommy dearest. That's what I become. I want nice sheets. I want a bitter old woman with a cigarette just yelling at my daughter. Like,
no wire hangers.
Are you done yelling at her, honey? Because I'm ready to get down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, but see, I disagree because I bet you she's more happy that her daughter's a Disney princess.
I'm absolutely.
No, I know you're kidding because I've thought about it like a couple times. Like if Gunnar or Mikey were to become famous comedians, like really, really super famous comedians, and I'm just like the beginning part of their A&E biography, like just my entire comedic career is. And her dad was a fairly successful stand-up in Texas, and it's just like a flyer of mine. And that's all it is. I'd be like, "That's pretty cool."
Absolutely, hell yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was like, and then I go on to our A&E credit. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that you use her.
Exactly.
You open for them.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking hey, well,
yeah,
I'd be proud of that. Why not? Why
who's not? Who's the worst person you've ever met on set?
Jesus, that's the opposite question.
Best person you've ever met on set.
How about this for a question?
Go ahead.
Who are you most starstruck?
I was starstruck when I did 5 DirecTV spots.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
In
I remember those. Yeah, you were like the DirecTV guy for a while.
It was cool. Yeah, I was.
You're the Spuds McKenzie at DirecTV.
No, I'm one of his little puppies, or like Spud's weird cousin.
Yeah,
like, that's like a Labrador or something.
Potato McKenzie.
Yeah, yeah. Potato McKenzie. He's the bald one over there. That's not talking to girls.
That's wearing a shirt in the pool.
Right. It's not.
Yeah. It's Spud wore a shirt in the pool. But okay, I'm sorry. So who were you starstruck with?
I was starstruck by the cast of that. So like Fred Willard was there. He was really – he was great.
Yeah.
Sat with him at lunch and like he just told old stories. He was in a robe because he didn't want to change out of his costume.
Sure.
So he just put on a robe.
Right.
Jeffrey Tambor was very nice.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's had some trouble has been really – kind of weird to hear and kind of comprehend.
Right.
John Michael Higgins, who was in Best in Show.
Okay. Yeah.
He was great. And so I just sat at this boardroom with him all day while they told stories and joked about it. And I just sat there listening.
Cause it was a boardroom set.
Yeah.
Right? It was a
boardroom set.
Yeah. And you had the humor though, which I was, which is what
kind of wild how they kind of made me like the funny guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I was super like rooting for you, like legitimately, like when those commercials would come on and your takes were the funny takes. Yeah. I was all like, yeah. Cause I remember seeing all those famous comics and it was like, you could have easily just been the setup guy or just whatever. But yeah, you were and compliments to you, man, because it was genuinely funny.
Thank you.
Yeah.
On the first day, I was so nervous and I was sitting right next to Jeffrey Tambor and across from John Michael Higgins and Fred Willard was supposed to walk in. And this is before we start shooting. And one of the props guys gives me a plate of food. I think he gives me a bagel.
Right.
And so I was like, well, I'm just going to make this my thing. I'm just going to eat.
Yeah.
This is my thing. I'm just going to be.
Oh, that was unscripted.
I'm going to be that guy in the boardroom in the meeting. Just eats. You know, what does he do? I don't know, but. He's just there and he's going to eat.
Yeah.
And I knew that I'd be on, like, I'd be in the shot because I'm right next to Tambor. And so in every shot, in every spot that we shot after that, we shot 5 more spots, 6 total. I told props, like, just give me some food. Like, give me some give me some cake. There's one where they throw some shrimp on a table. Yeah. I pick up shrimp and eat it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. So that was my thing. And then it kind of made it on its way to what you saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was a mid, if I remember correctly, like a mid-bite take with you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, which are always funny to me.
It was weird, yeah.
The mid, like.
Yeah, where they open up the shirt and I'm eating food. And I got this line, really weird. I had a chest
chain?
Tattoo.
Chest tattoo.
The chest tattoo, and I had a
nipple chain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah, that's amazing, yeah. Right?
And then that was a really cool thing to shoot because it was very it was just cool because like we were all talking about like, all right, what's the best joke for me to say? Like we were all pitching each other ideas on what to say. Like they were
with
pitching
like
me ideas.
Fred Willard
pitching them ideas. Wow. It was really cool. That's when I felt like, okay, this I can do this.
Right.
I kind of belong.
Yeah, you're hanging with the big boys or whatever.
I worked with Jeffrey Tambor on another movie. Well, not worked with him, but he was in a movie that I worked on.
Yeah.
And he was there the same day I was. And
yeah.
I said hello to him and he recognized me.
Oh, right.
Which
on.
Was cool. He recognized me.
Yeah, you worked together.
Sweet.
And not like, hey, yeah, I remember you asked for an autograph at Chili's like, or whatever.
Yeah, give me a big hug.
Yeah, all
it
right.
Was cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
That dude, I'm so happy for you, Nick.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And see, and now that you're successful, now San Antonio will support you.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works now.
Like,
no
yeah,
more Albertsons, no more Kroger's, and they don't support you till you made it.
But you got to remind them, though.
You have to.
They'll say,
you have to toot your own horn, though.
Who's that guy anyways? And then you mention one thing. Oh, it's Jell-O pudding.
Right.
And then boom. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's right. DirecTV
oh,
guy.
He's, yeah. He's,
but you say you love San Antonio with a Spurs hat on.
Oh, I do.
Then there you go.
Actually, restaurants.
Yeah. You'll be a fucking marshal at
he reps
Fiesta Parade.
San Antonio hardcore in LA, like all the time.
I love the Spurs. I love San Antonio. I'm very proud of my hometown. I really am.
Do you get any
really proud of you guys for like building comedy. You guys
Thank
are
you.
A huge part of the comedy scene in San Antonio.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We try.
You guys been together, what, 18 years now?
Might as well.
Yeah,
16.
Yeah.
Getting there.
Yeah. That's pretty great.
The band's still
you
together.
You guys should be proud of that.
Thank you.
I'm
Thank
not trying
you.
To kiss
Thank
your
you.
Ass.
Appreciate
I truly,
it. Appreciate
I truly feel that way.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's like when, you know, your parent works for like, you know, like a factory for 30 years.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, yeah, they're going to get a gold watch. They still work at a factory. Ain't going anywhere.
Here's a pin.
Nothing's going to happen.
Here's a pin with your name on it.
Exactly. We're laying everyone off. But no, man. Sincerely, and you're really fucking funny. Do you have any projects that you could talk about coming up?
Yeah, I'm in a film called Papi Chulo coming out.
Hell yeah, you are.
This year. By this Irish director named John Butler.
Yeah.
And they shot it in L.A. Oh. A Disney film called Magic Camp.
What?
With Jeffrey Tambor.
Okay.
That's going to be on the Disney Channel, I think.
Okay.
It's like Band Camp, but for magic?
What's it called?
I guess so.
Wait, magic wasn't camp. There already a magic camp show? Camp Rock. Isn't that a thing? That's a thing, right, guys?
Yeah,
thing.
Good job.
Ooh, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
All right.
What was Camp Rock?
It
a camp
was,
where you learn how to
it
play
was
music?
With Ted Bundy and Jonas Brothers.
Ted Bundy or Al Bundy?
No, Ted Bundy. What's his name? Zac Efron.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
He's Ted Bundy now.
Okay, yeah, it's Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he's going to play Ted Bundy.
He's High School Musical, though, right?
Oh, wait, I guess he wasn't in Camp Rock. It was Demi Lovato.
It's got Neighbors.
It was Demi Lovato and Jonas Brothers, bro.
Okay.
That was
anyway,
Camp Rock.
So, camp music.
No, Magic Camp.
No, Magic
Camp.
Magic Camp.
Magic Camp.
Magic Camp. It's a camp with everyone.
It's like Harry Potter, but it has magic.
Exactly. Everyone that's good at like passing behind a back. That has had HIV for the past
35
years.
No, it's
just
a bunch of kids asking you if this was your card. Is this your card?
I'm never going to get this right.
It's a short movie. Is this your card? No, credits.
So speaking of magic, so you're not a Lakers fan and you're a Spurs fan.
Yeah.
How many almost fights have you gotten into? Because when we did one little stint in LA about 10 years ago, and as soon as we said from San Antonio, we immediately got, fuck the Spurs.
That was in the height of their
rivalry. Yeah, yeah.
Lakers, I mean.
I've gotten in one conversation, and it was It was after Kobe Bryant's last game.
Right.
And I went to game. I was able to go to that game.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And they gave everyone Kobe Bryant jerseys.
No shit.
Like, yeah, that jersey. That was a gift. I got a jersey. It was really tight, but I still I wore it.
Sure.
I'll preface this by saying I did not grow up a Spurs fan until David Robinson got there because I didn't know they existed.
Yeah.
They were so bad.
Yeah, nobody really.
Yeah.
And he got there when I was 10.
Sure. Yeah,
so
same.
I guess that's when, you know, when if you don't grow up with sports, like
in your life,
in your life, that like, I think you'll get it or like whatever you'll gravitate towards to happens around.
Yeah. And to be fair, 11. I think that's like when David Robinson was rookie during his rookie time, that's running really a spotlight was on the Spurs. Cause we had no name team.
No, we had George Gervin for
but he retired in 83-85.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So we had that 5-year stint
of just like,
we sucked.
Know, yeah.
We had Frank Bukowski, bro.
Frank Bukowski. You had Alvin Robertson.
That's right. That's name. Right.
Right.
Yeah. At fucking Willie Anderson.
Right. Or Willie the Chill Anderson.
Yeah, exactly.
Terry Cummings. I grew up a Laker fan. I love the Lakers.
Okay.
I love Magic Johnson. I love right. So mm-hmm. So cut to at this bar after Kobe's last game. I put on the Kobe jersey, just wanted to wear it. And he's like, where'd you grow up? I said, San Antonio. I'm a Spurs fan. And he got into it. He's like, you know, Spurs suck, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, bro, listen. I grew up a Laker fan. I loved Lakers. Like, let's talk about the best Lakers of all time. And like, quickly turned it around, and we, you know, had a shot and talked about our favorite five Lakers.
But the secret that you should have done is the greatest Lakers of all time should be current or eventual Spurs. So it would have been Paul Gasol, right? It would have been Robert Horry, right? Right. Yeah. And just go down the line, Dale Ellis.
Dale Ellis.
Yeah, exactly. Just like secretly like, yeah, man, they're the best Lakers ever. And they ended up Spurs and hang up the phone. Yeah.
Are you telling me that Paul Gasol is not the best Laker ever? Spur of all time? Fuck out of here. No. He's the best.
Yeah, no. One, fuck Paul Gasol. Publicly, I'm very upset.
Why?
About it. I because he was a Laker.
Oh, get out of here.
Well, Robert Horry was a Laker, big shot. Yeah. But then he also clotheslined Steve Nash with a dick move. I Paul Gasol, dude, come on.
He's not that great, but he's all right.
He's not
and
that
And if
great.
He walked in, you'd give him a big hug.
Nope.
Really?
I was inches away from him and Marc Gasol, and I did
Ooh, I'd give them both a hug.
Yeah, I did ask while they were shooting a free throw, because I was lucky enough to get courtside tickets once in my life.
Sweet.
And so when they were standing next to each other, I have this cool picture of Marc and Paul Gasol, you know, at the free throw line. And we were allowed to heckle, but we couldn't cuss, right, because we were so close, right? And I said, hey, Marc, hey, Paul. Do you guys have lunch before or after the game? And this guy from across the court goes, good question!
That's a good question.
It was a good question.
What a great gift from the guy. Did you know him?
No, not at all.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, it was wonderful because I was just yelling just like nice things. Like I was like
probably
nice,
thinking the same thing, and then you shouted that. And he was like, question.
Good question.
I was going to ask for dinner, but still.
No, but like, still, yeah, lunch counts. You know? I mean, if they're eating sandwiches.
To his friend. I told you that was a good question to ask.
That guy yelled it.
He knows it.
Like, and he knows it, right?
What's do with him?
And then everyone just cheers. Timeout, TV timeout. Pop gets ejected, and I end up having to coach for them. And then I'm like, Marc, come play for the Spurs for a game so your brothers can be in the same team.
That was awesome when that happened, all that the same time.
You remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good, man. Yeah.
I saw it in TNT replay.
Actually, you know what? I do have a TV credit. I was on fucking TNT because I was so close in the court side. I fucking made it on TV. Dude.
A man.
So yeah, me and you're basically the same.
Add that to IMDb. Yeah.
It's on there.
The YouTube clip is.
I love it.
It's just replays. It says Blood Cousins comedy special, Elite. Big Brothers Big Sister spot, Elite,
and then Spurs game,
Memphis versus LA.
Spot
January 22nd. Yeah,
it wasn't even like
it's man. Like, no. Right. That's so, Marc Gasol so, plays
yeah,
for.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah,
Memphis Grizz. For the Grizzles. Well, I'm happy that you're here. I'm happy that you're finally a guest on our podcast.
Yeah, we've been trying back in the day, we were like, maybe we can Skype you in and like figure some way out, but now we've managed to get you here in the flesh.
Yeah, I'm honored to be asked to be here.
And we're honored to have you, man. Cool. So absolutely. Welcome home, dude. Welcome home. So let's start this thing.
All right.
All right, Jess, so what are we talking about today?
Well, hey, everybody. It's time for my segment, the type part of the show that I like to call, yeah, I'm looking at that. It's a segment where I talk about movies and video games and all kinds of fun stuff like that. And hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners all over the world after they hear about said junk is going to be, yeah, I'm looking at that. So this week I'm talking about a video game called Sleep Tight. And Sleep Tight's a pretty neat, nifty game where you play as a child. Speaking of Disney and all that business, the look of it has the look of like a Pixar classic Disney cartoon kind of game, and the premise is that you play.
We're
as
old.
We are old.
Yeah, you just called Pixar classic Disney.
Yeah,
it is.
No,
it's
but
almost
it's
20 years old.
Like Toy Story.
No, exactly. Toy Story is still a new movie to me, dude. Sorry for interrupting.
No, that's all right.
Yeah. Ugh.
So Sleep Tight, you play as a kid. You choose your kid, your avatar kid, of different types, and you just pick one. And the premise is that you're supposed to be setting up a fort to protect yourself from the nighttime monsters. So during the day, like in video game fashion, you build up your resources to build like a fort. But like in the
pillows?
Game, it's like pillows and like furniture and like all that kind of stuff. Right. So you block up, you know, little turret guns, but the guns are like Nerf guns. But at night when the monsters come out, they're like these very, you know, they're not super scary. It's cute. It's very charming looking. So the monsters are kind of just like typical nighttime monsters, like very Monsters, Inc. type of monsters.
Yeah, I was going to say not like MGMT, those pieces of shit.
Right. And so the monsters come out in different varieties, different types, and it's a twin stick shooter, which means like you move around with one stick and you shoot with the other. It's called twin stick shooter. You basically shoot around surrounded by a horde of nighttime monsters surviving the night. And then when the night's over, you have to basically take all the resources you had over the night and rebuild your camp again and basically survive as long as you can. Go as many nights.
What happens when the monsters get you?
Oh, you die.
You die.
You quote unquote die. They fall over and they go, ugh. But I guess the premise is like,
they're playing.
It's a playing. It's imaginary. It's fun. It's kids having fun.
I don't know, man. Yeah. They probably really die.
No, but it's because it's not gory. It's not graphic, but when the monsters scratch you, they get clawed and they're like, ow, you know, but it's very fun. It's very lighthearted. It's not like a extremely gory game. It's light spirited.
Sleep Tight's a creepy phrase.
I got my nephew a Steam gift card for his last birthday.
Hell yeah. He can buy Sleep Tight if he wanted to. If
he probably will, actually. Yeah, he's big into FNAF or Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, yeah,
FNAF.
Totally.
FNAF.
Yeah. I've never thought to pronounce it that way.
FNAF.
Now I feel
Five
old.
Nights at Freddy's. Yeah.
Freddy Krueger?
No, it's just this weird.
It's just a Haunted
Chuck E. Cheese.
Haunted Chuck E. Cheese.
Game.
It's hilarious on a Sunday because I brought that game up in a topic like years ago before it became this like phenomenon for children, which I think is really weird because they sell kids' clothes for Five Nights at Freddy's. Somehow, because it's a popular like cell phone game, it is kind of went from creepy meme type of thing to where children are playing it now. It's like Minecraft. Mm-hmm. It's like this weird thing of like, oh,
which
how
is
that
Hitler's happen? Book, right?
Yes, exactly.
We were about Minecraft?
Not Minecraft. Minecraft, not Minecomp.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Anyways, Sleep Tight is neither of those games. It's very cool and very fun, and I like it.
I think you're right, Larry. I think it was called
Minecraft.
Minecraft.
Right? Hitler's Minecraft.
Yeah. Yeah, written in Vienna.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Where they make sausage.
So Sleep Tight inspires the first topic of the evening, and the topic is, what was your childhood boogeyman? And if you didn't have a boogeyman, make one up. Sleep Tight, there's not so much a boogeyman, but there's monsters that are hiding under the bed, which is like the classic, you know, monsters in the closet. It's the premise for Monsters, Inc. It's like the boogeyman, and it's doing something kind of neat and fun with that. We've talked about childhood fears before in the past, so this is very specific. What is your childhood boogeyman? While I did not have a boogeyman per se, I will say that the thing that haunted me that was actually like a person or a face or whatever is the devil from The Exorcist. As a kid, Captain Howdy, or Pazuzu, I think was like the real name. So in The Exorcist, there's a few parts in the movie where there's a subliminal frame of this ghostly face. It's supposed to represent the devil, and it's like blinking you miss it, but it's very obvious. You see it a couple times in the movie. In the later version that they released, it's in there more than once. But before I saw The Exorcist, the first movie I saw, although I got to know a lot of horror movies because of a movie called Terror in the Isles, which was a documentary in the early 80s about
why people like horror films. And it's like this clip show of a bunch of horror films. And one of the most prominent ones in that movie was The Exorcist. They show practically like all the best stuff from The Exorcist in this documentary. So that's how I got to know The Exorcist from this documentary. And in the documentary, right before they cut to that infamous scene in Scanners where that dude's head blows up,
yeah,
right before they cut to that, they use that subliminal frame of the devil from The Exorcist. And that face, that floating face, it's just a pale white face and black makeup. It's not scary by today's standards, but it's one of those things where if it's that out of the ordinary thing, if you're just in the dark and you just see a floating face, and it's not overly menacing, it's just something that doesn't belong. It doesn't belong there. It kind of sticks in your mind and you can't shake it. So while I wasn't afraid of that actual like devil or all the stuff that was in The Exorcist, it didn't scare me. I did go to bed and like sometimes just in the right moment, you'd lay there and you'd see that face like it pitch black, just kind of just like how it does in the movie, just kind of flashes there. And it just made me a little uneasy every once in a while. It wasn't like the scariest thing, but it's the closest thing I've ever had to like a boogeyman is that floating devil face from The Exorcist. Because it's really cool. Like I really, and also that's I learned about what subliminal editing was because of that movie, because I didn't know what the concept was. And people are like, oh, it's this like one frame and it just kind of catches you. And that's where I learned that whole concept because of that floating face.
I have to rewatch this movie. I haven't seen The Exorcist in a long time. Yeah. I don't remember this floating head.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a brief little flash. Bop, like when she's playing the Ouija board, it goes bop. And then when they exercise, it goes bop. And it's just like,
it's a very brief moment.
It's a very brief moment. It's like the original cut of The Exorcist. It's the father, the priest has a nightmare and you see it, but the extended cuts they release later on when she's getting her, CAT scan, when like they can't explain what's wrong with her, they show it briefly during that. And I think like they put it a couple other places in the movie.
Well, it's kind of a cheesy film move.
It really is.
Oh yeah.
But for ahead of its time. But like before, you know,
this was like, 1971.
Right, it 70? Wasn't a common thing, and so it really did fuck with people. Like people would like they weren't used to that kind of thing, and it really was one of those things that kind of like fucked with people, like because they weren't, you know, like I saw it. It's not right. It's there. You know,
I want to like I feel like the Italians did a lot of that. Like, Argento maybe probably did a lot of that type of
extra like one little frame.
Yeah. Mine's a brief moment too. And it's really random and weird, but it's from The Last Starfighter.
What?
Okay, so there's a scene. There's a scene where they're duplicating his body, right? They're replacing the dude who has to go fight the stars with a real human. Or I don't know.
But
what
he was the last one, right?
Yeah, he was the last one. But like, so they're replicating him, and he's in it, and they're cloning his body or whatever the process was while he's in his bed. And there's a scene where like they lift up the blanket, and he's not fully formed yet. And I don't know if you guys remember this.
Yeah, I do.
Like, and his like face is kind of, and I don't know, but as a child, I remember seeing that and being freaked the hell out. So every time I'd go to bed from like seeing that, and it's not a scary movie. It's just like a funny, awesome movie. I love the movie, but that moment always scared me to where anytime when I was younger and as a little kid, when you lift that blanket off of your bed, I would always expect some weird malformed freaking clone to be in there, and so that would always freak me out for X amount of time. But that's like the – and it's such a random, brief little moment, but I remember it being burnt into my brain, burnt into my memory. So every time after that for a while, I was like, oh no, is there – it's not a boogeyman, but is there going to be that thing when I lift the blanket?
Right.
Is there going to be this creepy, malformed – I'm going to try to
– that's Slytherin, right? The guy with the white
Malfoy.
Ah.
Draco Malfoy.
Draco Malfoy.
So that's mine. I'm going to try to find a
picture of it. So this is kind of changing the dynamic because
– good.
I mean, my quick answers for that was Freddy Krueger. I was just hugely afraid around the corner of Freddy Krueger.
Because Freddy Krueger is a boogeyman, but that was actually –
because I was afraid to go to sleep.
Right.
I had to watch it
during the day.
Yeah.
The first one.
I was kind of older. Like I couldn't watch it as a kid. But my actual boogeyman was this bullshit tale that my grandmother would tell me. When I would go play outside. So this is during the day.
Cruel.
Yeah. But no.
Okay. It was great to keep me safe. I love this.
I think I might have mentioned it in the podcast before.
Awesome.
It was called that's creepy
shit. He's showing us the picture. Sorry, I found the picture. I typed in Last Starfighter clone scene and that's what they find. It's like it's like a skinned human being.
Yeah,
like it's
not.
If you're a child and you saw
that's, you're just watching a movie like a Star Wars type of fun movie. And throw that.
Do you guys remember that at all?
Yeah, no, I remember. That's why I was.
No, I remember that.
Anyway, sorry.
Oh, that's so funny.
All right,
my bad.
It's all good. So my grandma told me, you know, when I played outside, to watch out. Don't go too far because the man with the sack will get you. And
the man with the sack.
And it was just a common thing, like, you know, like, oh, Larry, going outside. Okay, don't, you know, watch out for the man with the sack. Man with the sack. And it's just like, holy crap, you know, this is scary. And so when we would pass by, you're not from San Antonio. We have a lot of Army forts and military bases. And so there's a Wolford Hall Medical Center, which is in Lackland Air Force Base. And it is big. I don't know what you burn in there, but it's just, you know, stuff that you burn. Like, those big, like, kind of cone things that you burn things at hospitals and Air Force bases. Well, anyway, they said that's where the man with the sack would burn children every time we pass by on 90.
And
that's,
you say they, but you mean, like,
my aunts, my grandmother, my mother. And so it was a it fucked me up.
Right.
But it was a good way for me not to talk to strangers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the whole point.
That was the whole point of that boogeyman. So there would be times where there was just some man who was probably collecting cans or fucking doing his lawn or, you know, stealing kids like most guys do when they're walking neighborhoods.
Wait, hold on.
And I – no.
Sorry, go on.
Well, you know, like, you know, you're still kids. Yeah. I mean, you need to watch your children. So anytime I'd see a man with a bag of any sorts, I'd fucking run inside and be like, the man was that there. My grandma's like, okay, good, go take a shower, get ready for bed. And so
it's four.
Yeah, exactly. It's like 40 after. I just got home from school. I'm 15.
You're and safe so, now. Look, you're safe.
But I am safe. Butthole safe untouched.
There you go.
So, you know, thanks, Grandma.
I love the man. Like, but what I wonder is, like, was the man in the sack? I'd always just assume that it's unique to your family. They had that story. Or was it something that maybe the neighborhood, like, do other neighborhood kids know about the
or,
man with the sack?
Or it was a real thing and there was a dude with a sack who caught kids and burnt them. So maybe that's real, dude.
Maybe it's real. But looking back on it, that was a fucking hospital. It was probably where the biohazard material got burned.
Perfect place to burn children.
Never going to find the body.
Exactly.
Right. And then, you know, me getting into serial killers and stuff like that and reading up on true crime stuff, and I'm like, yeah, dude stole kids.
Yeah.
Dudes be stealing kids.
Yeah, dudes be stealing kids.
Yeah.
Nick Boogeyman?
I think it's what you just said.
Currently.
That's your name. Yeah.
I'm going to go tell my daughter about this.
No!
Man with a sack. Don't man with a sack.
Mine was, I was so scared of Children of the Corn.
Mm. Oh, okay, yeah.
So I think it's Jacob, the bad kid.
There's the main leader. Jacob is the like the right hand man to Malachi, who is the
Malachi the leader.
Malachi's the leader.
That's what I thought. Malachi was the
redhead.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, Malachi's a redhead. The short and Isaac's the
bullheaded kid.
Isaac.
That's his name.
Isaac.
Yeah.
So in the movie, he in a diner, people get murdered.
Yeah.
And then Isaac walks into the like outside, and he looks into the window. It's that shot with his round hat, and his little white white albino skin, and his little beady eyes looking in there. That freaked me out. That stuck with me.
Yeah.
And then like that's like the first 10 minutes of the film.
Yep, that's how it starts.
Rest of the movie is just so scary.
Have you? When's the last time you've seen that movie?
Oh, I not the whole way through, but I revisited a few of those scenes. Maybe like 10 years ago.
Okay. I watched it maybe like 3 years ago, and it's hilarious how many times there's close-ups of a knife, and they make them like slightly rotate it so that it'll glimmer to the camera.
Yeah.
And every time I saw that, I was like, I just imagined the director going, okay, now rotate, and we get the glimmer. But there's so many of them. Like, if you rewatch it, they're like, just see the scenes of them – turning bladed object or the blades
around.
But
do they do that to see if someone is in the
– No, it's just for effect. It's just show the – show the
– But that's the loss of the illusion of making films is like you're able to like, you know,
like, but it's, lose
it's,
that.
It's one of those revisiting things, because look, I found an animated GIF
of Last Starfighter.
Of that scene, and it's this weird deflating, inflating head thing.
It's a GIF of it.
The internet animation. Is the fucking greatest and the worst thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That ain't dark web. That's his web web.
That's his web web.
So I like it. Yeah. I ain't going down.
That's
dark
great.
Web. I ain't going down the dark web either.
I want to throw an honorable mention because it's also kind of ridiculous in the same thing of like just because that reminded me of the other thing that I'd see in the middle of the night was I don't even know the alien's name, but at the end credits of Star Trek, and I'm not that I'm not
oh,
the,
you've talked
I'm not
about
the
this
only
before.
Person at the end credits of Star Trek. There's this one shot
the
of
green
this
alien.
Very green alien just staring forward. And it's the
you've brought that up before.
It is such the creepiest fucking
of the first Star Trek,
the original show, the original show. TV show. The end credits. It shows like clips.
New.
Yeah, no, it was like on syndication weird. First run, so it was just done, and it always creeps me out. Just how hilarious it is, and then like. I know I'm not the only one because Futurama like made a joke about it. Like they had a like shot of GIF and doing the same thing. Anyways,
well, real quick, I had mentioned this in the podcast too. And I used to have fever hallucinations.
Right.
Right. And the one that stuck with me that still sticks with me. Well, there's two. One is Lou Rawls. Because my mom would listen to that song when she'd go to bed. And You'll Never Find to this day gives me chills. It's just a creepy fucking song. And Bill Cosby, and I'm not saying that because of everything going on, but for some reason, because we used to watch The Cosby Show a lot, I was trying to go to sleep, and I would just get this, like, vision of Bill Cosby just, like, looming over me, like, with his sweaters. And this was, like, in the, like, late 80s. So I wonder if when I was having those illusions, was he looming over
astral
somebody?
Projection.
Maybe so, like, Bill Cosby's the man in the sack.
Oh shit!
Because
dude.
his the sack is made out of
his
fucking
his
sweaters.
Up.
Yeah.
Oh, wait,
no.
What?
That's not where I was going with that, but okay.
That's where I thought we were going.
Yeah. And I wake up with tea and a $20 bill on the nightstand.
Facebook answers. Samson Portillo says Gumby was his boogeyman.
Okay.
That makes sense. Gumby? Yeah. I'm terrified. Yeah.
What the hell is Gumby?
Yeah.
Travis K says tornadoes. When you lived in an old farmhouse surrounded by cornfields right after Twister came out, every storm is your nightmare.
Right.
So Ryan Timothy Bray says that living stained glass hallucination from young Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah, that's a neat – that's a cool movie. That's one of those cool things. But yeah, that's a weird thing. Yeah.
Carlos Castro says his boogeyman is ice and still is because he's from Mexico. So he
– Oh, ICE.
ICE, like immigration. Yeah.
So, I was like
– Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Samantha Lyons Rick says the Ted Danson zombie from Creepshow.
Oh,
remember?
Water zombie.
Yeah, water zombie.
Yeah.
I remember being 8 or 9 and convinced he was shuffling around the shelter belt in cornfields surrounding my house eating stray cats until he could get a hold of something bigger. Ooh. Alfred Perez says the slumber party massacre killer. He looks like an ordinary guy, but something happens and he snaps and he goes on a killing spree.
I always joke that like they got the boom operator to be the killer in that movie.
Like, we need a killer. We need a killer.
Like, it's just like it looks like the janitor. Like, I know I think that's what it's supposed to be.
Just normal looking dude. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He just looks like a dude.
Hey, Carl, can you stop gripping that and be our killer real quick?
All right.
Oh, yeah, sure. Carl, put the gaff tape down. Yeah, let me do this real quick.
Hector Bojorquez says, as a child, I have a recurring nightmare. The devil was trying to get me to deny Jesus by slicing my wrist with a broken clay coffee mug.
Yeah.
All right. Go figure.
Very specific.
Bridget Holly said, I had no idea what it looked like, but I was always afraid its creepy hand was going to come out from under my bed and grab my ankle if I was walking in my room in the dark. So, like, classic boogeyman.
Yeah.
Boogeyman. Matthew Wayne says inky black darkness, like when the lights go off in the basement and you can't see your hand in front of your face. My imagination as a kid always made the dark super scary. My pulse still races when I get stuck in a pitch black room.
Liquid darkness. God damn it.
Richard Morgan
after
says
after all that shit. God damn it.
Who says that?
Matthew Wayne.
Sorry, man.
Richard Morgan says, when I was about 4, I had a dream about Paul McCartney as a vampire that scared the crap out of me. My dad had a hard time not laughing when I told him why I was crying.
I want to see a painting of Paul McCartney.
If there's
vampire,
someone who was like, yeah, he'd be a vampire.
What era?
Paul is dead. Of course he's
what
a vampire.
What era Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh,
good question. Yeah, exactly. Because if he was Wings vampire.
And then he came and then he sang Bluebird and then he sang Blackbird and then he sang Rocky Raccoon.
It's real!
And then he made me
say what you want. I can see that. I can totally see that.
He was a man on the run, Eddie.
Finally,
Ebony, made Ebony his wife.
We're not done, Regan.
He's got a songbook. Keep going.
Ebony and Ivory are the two stakes that this vampire hunter made to kill both vampire Michael Jackson and vampire Paul McCartney.
Zombie Michael Jackson.
Zombie Michael Jackson.
Vampire Paul.
Thank you.
That's not a werewolf thing. Michael Jackson.
Ebony and Ivory.
Oh, that's right. Werewolf Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Hell
yeah. He was zombie and
Stevie Wonder was Ebony and Ivory.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
No,
yeah.
So he did.
Say.
Yeah. That's right.
They're all vampires.
No, they're all vampires.
Finally,
and he bought all the Beatles songs and ruined his life.
Michael Jackson did?
Yeah.
That's
now
right.
His family owns it. Now they're on Target commercials.
Woohoo!
They sold it.
Yeah, it's Target.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they sold it to.
They sold it back to Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney, yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah,
you got him. He's a vampire. You're threatening him.
Yeah. All right, finally, Andrew Thomas says, my boogeyman was the monster under the bed or in the closet. The most terrifying thing is what your mind makes up in the dark.
Wow, you're in Pride Month, man? Come on.
Well, speaking of those things that crawl underneath the dark, Sleep Tight is a very neat game that I'll be playing pretty soon. I'm very excited about it. It's very fun. So, Sleep Tight. Yeah, I'm going to look into that.
So, it's time for another edition of Dad's Corner.
Yay!
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
And then during the live podcast, I usually outnumber the guys, but today, Nick, I know you are a father, so we are tied.
Yeah,
like fathers to non-breeders.
Non-fathers.
Yeah, and my topic question today is, what slogan or jingle remains in your vernacular?
So excited.
And I actually tried really hard to word that in a fun way, but it was just the only way that I could think about, like, what slogan or jingle, you know, have you not forgotten? And that, this question is, you know, for you, Nick, you've been in many commercials, very proud of that. And Gunner is, you know, a sponge. And we're actually cutting cable because he has been able to recite the medical insurance fraud commercial.
Man. Yeah.
Like I have a mouth in it. It's like, have you been a victim of medical insurance fraud?
Wow.
And like, and he's just, and mouth and lip syncing to it, like verbatim. And it reminded me of me being a kid and having to sit through those commercials, like, you know, 222-0500, 222-0500. And if for any not from San Antonio, that is Paragon Cable. If you needed
so
to.
So many different ones. Yeah,
Think Young, Rodney Young. Yeah.
Don't hey, wait, easy. Because some of them might be the ones that are in
our
heads.
Answers, okay. Yes. Apologies. So, it was the picture of the on the topic for me was actually my answer, which is Carnation's Instant Breakfast. You're going to love it in an instant.
Yep.
And so I have said that and will continue to say that probably for the rest of my life. I have never, nor I don't think it exists anymore, will ever buy or have bought Carnation Instant Breakfast. So it's kind of like, did advertising work? Kinda, but I never bought the product nor had any interest, nor actually kind of know what it is. I don't know what instant
chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk.
It's hot cocoa.
Yeah,
but it's got like nutrients.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah.
So any time a jingle comes,
it's Ovaltine, right? Like
it's
was
like
Ovaltine.
It's like Ovaltine. So anytime a jingle would come, like so, Gunner will go, "We are farmers." Bum ba dum bum 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 bum.
Yeah.
And then I'll end it with, "You're gonna love it in an instant." Yeah. And we've done that.
It keeps going.
And it keeps going to the end of all these
train
commercials.
Yeah, the train of jingles.
And so mine that hasn't gone away, and I don't remember any actors in it or anything like that, is "You're gonna love it in an instant."
That's wonderful.
And because it does actually apply to any product.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah, it's very broad. Yeah,
exactly.
Try
the Dew, Mountain Dew. You're gonna love it in an instant. Yeah, so that's mine. So
it's a good.
And what inspires it is that Gunner, because
Gunner
sings multiple jingles.
Are farmers, bum, ba dum, bum, 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 bum. Like, he'll just do that at the table, and it's like, you know, advertising works, repetitive shit works.
I also do appreciate in the past, like, decade that jingles have come back, because I think there's a point of time where advertising, I kind of saw it as this outdated, archaic method of advertising, and then now I think it just, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's always been there, but it feels like it's come back.
It has a resurgence. Yeah, because he doesn't like Goldfish.
Like, he just doesn't like him. He's never been a fan of goldfish. And he'll say, like, I don't want a snack that smiles back. Like, he says that sort of thing. And he's, like, half joking. That's not why he doesn't like it, but he just...
I love goldfishes because they're so delicious. Goldfishing.
Right. But that's not the... It's the snack that smiles back. Interesting. Goldfish. Like, that's what it is now. Yeah.
From Charms.
Yeah. You see? Yeah, right? Exactly. Okay. Yeah. You're going to love it in an instant.
Who wants to go? I'll go. Mine is... It's a local one. So anybody listening that wasn't from San Diego... And I don't know if it still gets played or it might, but it's... At Blue Bonnet, price is the difference.
Yes.
It's Blue Bonnet Motors.
It's Blue Bonnet Motors, Blue Bonnet Ford. Yeah.
It had to have been around since lived in San Antonio, too, Nick. Yeah. It's their tag thing. They threw it at the very end of every commercials. At Blue Bonnet, price is the difference. And I throw that at price is the difference sort of on everything else.
Yeah.
And I'll throw at CEC's prices, like you can throw whatever out there.
Price of difference.
And that's the one that is. Exactly. Like that. And for no reason, it'll just pop in my head all the time at Blue Bonnet.
And I like that going back to Disney Pixar, that Inside Out. They have that gum jingle, that you know, ominous.
How did this
gum
get jingle. Back here?
Yeah, they just, we like to throw it in there randomly and stuff, but you can't get it out of the head, and Anger gets all pissed off because she just keeps thinking about the commercial. And I think it was
genius.
Very true. Yeah. It was genius. It was great. Jess?
There's this bank near my house called Shirts Bank and Trust, and they don't have a jingle, but I've Mandela affected a jingle.
Gosh.
That doesn't exist, but
it counts.
And I think it counts because it's still in my vernacular. I'm answering the fucking question. So Shirts Bank and Trust is just this simple bank. Shirts is like this little town outside of San Antonio.
That's S-C-H-E-R-T-Z.
Correct.
Yeah, Shirts Off.
The logo is just, it's you know, generic Times font when there's an eagle on it. And I don't remember when, but we used to pass by this, like, you know, we go to... Oh, cross by it every time the exit, and probably the first time I saw that sign, I instantly said, flying high on the wings of an eagle, a bank that you can trust, Shirts Bank and Trust. So
okay,
so that without fail, I'd say 80% chance of passing by that sign, I will always sing that fucking
jingle. Sing it again, please.
Yeah. Flying high on the wings of an eagle, bank that you can trust. Shirts, bank, and trust.
Let's harmonize Shirts, bank, and trust.
Shirts, bank, and trust.
And so for my wife, for my wife, in classic fashion, the singing line gets more hoarse and faint.
Yeah.
I think, but this is what it really is. What it really is that I can't shake DQ.
That's what I like about Texas.
So I think
Shirts, love it in an instant.
Shirts Bank and Trust is just it's Mandela affected because of the DQ jingle.
No, but you're singing it like, man, why is his name escaping me? What would you do if I sang
Joe Cocker?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Well, Nick, you're in a lot of commercials. Jess is a
I'm really, in the advertising world.
He makes commercials, so I can only imagine you hear jingles all the time.
I can't help but to shake jingles out of stuff
for various companies. So
and then my wife, my wife enables me because she's like, oh, make a jingle for this bullshit.
Exactly.
Like, whatever. She'll pass by, make a jingle for whatever it is. And that's, you know, stuff.
That's why it came so naturally that you saw it and your brain went
right
there
to it,
because your brain is used to
conditioned.
And the only trigger was, it's a bank. They got an eagle on it and they're using Times font. That's the three things.
And I'm not even kidding you.
Boom.
If you were to approach Shirts Bank and tell them, hey, I got a jingle for you, they'd be like, that's perfect. We love it. We want to buy it.
100%. So but not it'd be nobody
very
knows.
Popular, too.
Yeah.
It's a very unique jingle for, and it's a car company.
It's a bank.
It's just a bank.
It sounds like David Cross's bit where he goes, Henderson Valley eggs. You're going to love our eggs. These ain't your grandfather's eggs.
Because Patton Oswalt talks about how he like cock rocks everything.
Yeah.
Which makes me crack up because when he did that, I'm like, oh, see, there he goes. That's shirt spanking trust. That's exactly what that is. Yeah, so, yeah, that's
have you ever, before you answer the question, have you ever had to say a slogan or
do a jingle? Yeah, I did an Eggo commercial, and we all had to say Lego My Eggo, but they cut it for each character.
Yeah, right, right. Lego My Eggo.
A mother, father, and a daughter. So my line was, my.
Nice. So you're part all right, let's take it again.
My. Not so smiley.
My. Not so smiley. It's great. Remember, we can hear smiles. That's my favorite thing I've ever been told while in a booth, while in a recording booth.
Yeah.
And remember, we can hear smiles.
All right. And that's when Rican destroys the booth.
God damn it.
To a grizzly
and
bear.
A biscuit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I never get tired of there.
So what's your...
Yeah.
Well, there's one.
There's a clip of you, Rican, it's somewhere. I saved it somewhere in the process of work or whatever. And it's like, in a basket of hush puppies.
God damn it. Yeah. That was
my... For Barnacle Bills or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And a biscuit.
And a biscuit.
Sorry. You're jingled, Nick.
In Los Angeles, it might be out here too, but there's a charity cars. It's a car charity.
Okay.
And it's called 1-877 Cars for Kids.
Oh, no.
Okay. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
1-877 on a car for kids.
It's kids singing the song. 1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And that's just stuck
everywhere.
Yeah.
It's on television.
I'm glad
there's a band of kids playing fake instruments.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And they're in pink and black. It's really weird. And it's just these, like, you know, a fake drummer.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
swinging his arms around. 1-877
I'm glad they say KARS because I would have
dialed on the thing. Like,
Blue Bonnet Prize is different. Coming up. You're gonna love it in an instant.
1-877
And they have a punk version.
No,
it's faster, but it's same kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids.
Ronald Reagan was a jerk. Well, but then they gotta have the hip hop version, like 1-877 on Cars for Kids.
1-877 on the Cars for Kids.
Yeah,
don't hate your car, you don't stop. Cause it's 1-877 on the Cars for Kids. Yeah, and you don't quit.
All right, Facebook answers. Brian Benitez says, by Menon.
Yeah.
And then,
nice.
Yeah, that's always because after You're Gonna Love It an Instant, by Menon is my go-to.
By Menon,
afterwards.
But also Nabisco, bing.
Yeah.
And then Red Lobster. Red Lobster for the seafood lover in you, right?
Yeah,
is that how it goes?
That's an oldie.
Red Lobster for
the seafood.
That's Red Robin.
No, I don't. Red Lobster. Gross.
Shit food.
Travis K says crunchy jelly, which isn't a real thing. It's crunchy and it's jelly. But actual answer, Chevy's like a rock.
Like a rock.
Taco Bell's old style gospel jingle about Taco Sundays at Taco Bell.
Yeah, man. Yes.
Sidebar, I also still sing 59, 79, 99
That's
from
it.
Little
that's
Richard.
It.
Yeah.
That was part of it. I think that's part of it right there.
Damn, that's good.
Because the fucking Willie Nelson thing, Taco Bell bypasses that for some reason.
What's Willie Nelson?
He goes, oh, sitting by the corner. Because there's a whole Bill Hicks bit about it. He goes, sitting on the corner waiting for the lady in red. Some kind of shit like that. Like, I don't even know the song, but I immediately think about that. Yeah.
Okay. So Ryan Timothy Brace says, ba-da-da-bop-da. I don't...
Ba-da-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
He just put that
McDonald's.
Justin Timberlake wrote that.
What?
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
That's why he's so wealthy.
Damn it.
Perfect. Guaranteed.
The genius.
Yeah. I guarantee that's true. Like, I know we're saying it in jest, but
Carlos Castro says, Meow Mix, the jingle was cemented by Homer in season 5 of The Simpsons by the boy who knew too much.
Meow, 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 meow.
Genius.
Alvin Perez says, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Yep.
Nice.
Ross Carter says, in an Orbitz commercial, a lady says, you lint liquor, and I use that insult almost weekly. Interesting.
Funny, yeah.
Angela Reed Moore says, well, the pops are sweeter and the taste is new. They're shot with sugar through and through. Kellogg's sugar corn pops. Sugar pops are the tops. Yeah, I'm old. That's what she said. So that's an old sugar pops thing, I guess.
No shit.
Eliseo Caballero says, we can have a really good time. Pick up the phone.
Pick up the phone. People still say that.
Yeah.
Well, but you don't pick up phones anymore.
What was that for?
It was porn. Or not porn.
It was a
sex
adult chat line. Yeah.
Okay. You don't remember that? It was around like in the late
definitely
mid-90s.
USA up all night.
Okay. Yeah. Brian Ortiz says, set it and forget it.
Right.
Richard Morgan says, there are so many old British commercials stuck in my head that are meaningless here. He says, hope it's chips. It's chips. We hope it's chips. It's chips. I don't know. I need to Google these now.
That's why I lost the war, man.
You can't get better than a quick fit fitter. Monsieur Ambassador, with these Rocher, you are really spoiling us.
This is all nonsense. He's making it up. What's the one in space they reference to? It's too orange for crows.
It's too orangey for crows. He says, a finger of fudge is just enough to give the kids a treat.
A finger of fudge?
Yeah, he goes, see, I sound mad if I say them, but they're all real, even the fudge one. So they're real things.
I think the man with the sack says the finger of fudge.
Oh, I need to Google all those later. Bridget Holly says, Mentos, the fresh maker.
Yep.
Matthew Wayne says, Sleep Country Canada. Why buy a mattress anywhere else? Ding. And then Andrew Thomas says, break me off a piece of that Kit Kat, homie. So there you go.
Yeah.
The really awkward one for me recently or in the past few years is Fathead, which are like these decals.
Because
it's the most awkward, weird thing where they have like 5 seconds, like almost 5 seconds of in time after they end the commercial. It's like fathead.com and just lingers there with no music or anything. So it's like one of those weird, mildly creeps me out.
Yeah,
like it's just kind of like the last thing you hear and you're like, ugh, like I think that I'm going to have a fever dream like you, and then
and
I'm going to hear that. I'm like, oh shit, here it comes.
And anytime I have to say the word sour apple, I have to say it like the kid from Blow Pops, like commercial. Off to the side, the way like a racist guy that doesn't want people to know he's racist says something racist. He goes, sour apple.
Like cherry, like watermelon. Like strawberry.
Sour apple.
Exactly right.
Sour he looks around before he
turns around, doesn't want anyone to know.
Sour apple.
Yep. We don't want HR to hear about it.
Exactly. Hey, man, dude, chill out. Hey, I'm sorry, man. I like
But
it.
You just know.
You're cool with this, right? But I'm going to say that.
Sour apple. You know what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Fellow racist.
They ain't like regular apples. Ain't like Washington Reds, Granny Smiths. These are sour apple. No, Granny Smith is like the real racist way to say it. So, yeah,
they ain't just sour. They ain't just sour, but they're Granny Smith sour.
Watermelon, grape, sour apple. Yeah. Blow pop, take it to a blow pop. Yeah.
It's 6 feet of bubblegum for you,
not them. Yeah, another one for you, not them.
For you, not them. They're gross, but they still get girls.
Yeah, Toxic Avengers.
It never fucking ends.
Yeah. There's so much, man. Advertising instill in your brain. And you know what isn't? Education. So your kids, if you want them to learn something, put it on a TV and
commercial.
make a classic jingle out of it, like the Pythagorean theorem: E=mc².
You're in theory right? at all. Not even close.
No, theory of relativity. Like I don't know what they would need to learn it by, but you know, I before E except after C. Like just remember that. Like that's why I knew how to spell turtle.
Yeah.
When I was in third grade, because I remember T U R T L E power, and that's not a jingle, but it helped me learn. So, parents out there, let your kids watch commercials.
Or let them listen to They Might Be Giants, because a big chunk of their songs are like they're
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
They're practically lessons about certain specific things. Like the song Mammal. It's like, oh, you want to learn about mammals? That song is about mammals. Tells you what
and they'll remember it, and they'll pass tests.
Right.
So,
pass tests, and they'll graduate, and that's it.
And that's it. And then they'll do nothing else
good luck.
With their lives, unless the man with a snack.
Texas education, y'all.
Texas education, where it's at.
TV.
Texas history. We owned slaves after they were free.
We took a while.
Texas education. Texas education. Slavery. It didn't happen like that.
Yeah. We're not part of America. So, you know, help your kids out. Let them watch TV or don't. It really doesn't matter. You're gonna be fucked up anyway. Parenting, fuck it.
Parenting sucks.
Yeah.
It's fun and it's really stupid.
The smallest thing you do will fuck your child's life.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, it doesn't really matter.
You want to see this movie that your dad liked called Last Starfighter?
All right, now it's time for my segment called Hey, That's Not Funny, where we talk about stuff that is not funny. And today's topic comes from a scientific journal out of the KU Leuven, whatever. It's it talks about 15 new genes that identify the shape of our face. So it's not funny.
Sorry.
Says our DNA determines what we look like, and doctors could use DNA for skull and facial reconstructive surgery. Forensic examiners could use it to they can use DNA to sketch a perpetrator's face based on the DNA retrieved from a crime scene. Historians would be able to reconstruct facial features using DNA from days long gone. But first, researchers need to figure out what specific genes are responsible for how our face is shaped. So these researchers were able to find 15 specific locations on the DNA strand that have to do with our face. Now, it's just the very beginning
just
of
face,
it.
Just face, not, yeah. Not body.
Just face.
Yeah, because isn't eugenics what they use to determine why certain races acted a certain way because of their foreheads protruding and shit?
Oh,
like
well,
that.
Yeah. I mean, there's yeah. also skull measurements, yeah, and stuff, yeah, that they've done that. But this is like just saying how the face was constructed. Like, does this gene correspond to a certain size nose, certain size eye socket, certain size, right, jawline, that kind of stuff. So they're just beginning to find 15 specific locations that have to do with facial construction. And so that
specifically
just
sour apple.
Oh, no. Oh, no. They're really worried about the sour apples. So which just brings up to my topic, real simple and easy, is what's the most defining characteristic of your face? Is it your eyes, your nose, mouth, mole, smile? And for me, I think that my most defining characteristic on my face is my eyebrows. Like, I think that my eyebrows, and this is why, is because I always say that I have mustaches for eyebrows. Like, you could, sure, peel off my eyebrows, which go from like the middle of my head to my temple. I don't even have – I barely have a little bit – I don't really have a temple if you look at it. My eyebrows go like all the way. So I have like these giant freaking mustaches. And there is a caricature that my – so my mom, maybe when – around when I was like maybe 14 or 15, took a picture of me and my brothers and got it done into a caricature. Like,
oh, right.
And
on.
They drew it.
Yeah.
And this caricature artist drew it, and my mom brought it back, and I had no – I just can't explain how giant my eyebrows looked on this character thing. Like two giant hairy caterpillars. I had no eyes because I guess when I smile, like I squint, and it was just the most pronounced thing on my face for me. Like that's what I think is my defining character. And throughout life, I've been told by other people that I have, you know, what do you call it? Very expressive eyebrows.
Animated.
Like, you know, like it's a good thing. Like I like it. It's just, luckily, it's not too much of a unibrow, but I think for me, my defining characteristic are these giant goddamn eyebrows. It also helps that I have a Neanderthal forehead, so I have a protruding forehead as well. So it's like not only are they big and bushy, but they're also pushed forward.
They're even right on the bone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're like, and see, bushy. I'm looking at yours. You barely, you know, your eyebrows.
I have a lot of forehead.
Well, no.
So is that your answer, would you say?
For him?
For you.
My forehead. Oh, I don't know. I was going to say my eyes.
Ooh.
But yeah. That's where.
What?
The soul lies.
Yeah.
I think that's my defining feature, my eyes.
Another thing.
Do you think is what casts you in certain roles and stuff?
Ooh.
Like the eyes? Since that defines.
Possibly. I mean.
Blue-eyed devil.
I have hazel eyes.
Ooh.
Is there someone else?
He's colorblind.
Colorblind. Are you? Blame me.
Okay.
You're wearing a lot of blue.
My bad.
Also, I
am wearing a lot of blue.
It used to be I have moles. I have these three moles on my face, but sure, then I grew older and I got facial hair, so it kind of covered those, so you didn't see those as much. But facial hair doesn't mess with my eyebrows, so those have just always been around. So that kind of didn't change anything on my face. As far as my beard didn't change anything. So you can't see the moles now,
right,
luckily.
Yeah.
But a little interesting, hair grew out of this mole on my chin first before I started growing.
Oh, wow.
So that was great growing up.
At a Vietnamese restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
How old were you in the character? In the
15, probably.
So, and you were pretty like you were aware of this feature, you were kind of embarrassed of
the eyebrows?
Yeah.
I just knew they were big. Like,
you were
self-conscious
is what
I'm saying. That caricature definitely made me self-conscious though. Like, that was when
caricature artists are terrible people.
But I get it. I mean, that's the thing. It's a caricature of yourself. They're going to focus on those defining characteristics.
Did you do things to hide it?
No.
Okay.
I can't hide this.
Because you had long hair around that age. Did you grow it out to hide your eyebrows?
Nah.
Okay.
That was just to be cool.
Fucking great hair.
Yeah. Fucking work, hair. Bro.
Mid-90s, late-90s hair for Regan.
Yeah. Beautiful. Best hair in the biz.
Beautiful.
Yeah, they knew long-haired Regan, too.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But the audience, you don't fucking know the gorgeousness of that hair.
Also, in Colorado.
I still find his hair in my, like long strands of hair.
Yeah.
It's my wife so angry when I say the line, like, oh, like I'll find a long black hair. I'm like, it's probably Regan's. Like, it's fucking gross. Like, I lived with him for a couple years.
And that was Colorado hair, too, where there's no humidity, beautiful. Ugh, yeah. It was good stuff.
Yeah.
Mine's real quick. So I think the obvious one as of recent years is the beard.
Mm-hmm.
I think the beard is kind of my defining thing is what – I've kind of like, oh, the guy with the beard. Like, so it's like literally my defining feature, you know, when people describe me now. Clean shaven, my ears. I've been kind of teased about my ears since I was a kid. My uncles used to call them beauties. And that's sincerely, that's what they called them is they're like, look at them beauties. And they were talking about my ears. Kind of the whole, you know, car coming down the road with both doors open kind of thing. So I got big ears. But the beard has since compensated for it. But then the balding has then accentuated the big ears. So,
The beard takes away from the ears.
It does. It does because of the sideburns or whatever.
Yeah, it spaces your head out a bit.
If I was to clean shave, the ears would stick out like a sore ear.
On you.
Yeah.
Like a sore ear.
Yeah.
Like a sour ear.
An Adam's apple.
I'm very self-conscious. And it's funny. It's one of those things where it's like I don't think anyone notices it, but I have a chipped tooth. And my brain always.
Sorry, dude.
My brain gravitates. It's all right. It's cool.
It's Larry's fault.
It's Larry's fault. I chipped my tooth on his toilet sink.
Ow.
Yeah.
It was built close together.
Yeah. So like, I told this before. Yeah. His sink is right in front of the toilet.
Pick your pants up like a man.
When I picked up my pants, his sink's right in front of me. So I bent over and I chipped my tooth after like a marathon of Fulci movies and Doritos and shit. Good times.
Yeah.
So,
we were 12-year-olds, but I think we were like 25.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was on Family Number Two, and I was the fucking
mid-30s. I was like 22.
CEO of an advertising company.
what a life!
What a life! So this chipped tooth is like I notice it because if I take a selfie or a picture,
sure.
It's the first thing I see is that chipped tooth. Like, all right. He's got.
May I see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
Not
that's
noticeable.
A thing.
Yeah,
you can
like it's not bad. I don't mind it because it's one of those things. Like if a caricature drew me, they're not going to draw a fucking chipped tooth. But my brain always goes to that. But
it's
I guess
pretty big.
It is.
See, I'm very self conscious about my pickle tooth, but I wouldn't say it's a defining feature because no one's like brought it
pointed
up.
It out.
Yeah,
right?
But in my brain. Yeah. It's a defining feature, but it's not. No one goes, oh, the guy with the fucked up tooth. It's not even like fucked up. It's like no one's at the chipped tooth. So and my face changes all the time because of varying lengths of facial hair. I'm always bald. I don't know. Bald? I don't know. It's like a cheeks.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Regan, since I've known you longest. Do you think – hearing all your answers, I feel like I want to change my answer.
Oh,
yeah, please
I feel
do.
Like my entire face is my – my face character, like my face trait. Because people just know me as Nick Bush. They don't say the guy with the beard, guy with the chipped tooth, or the guy with the eyebrows. I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah.
So I just feel like it would be my whole face would be.
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
That might be a cop-out answer.
No. I'm thinking, in all honesty, I think your eyes, to me, but not just your eyeballs, but like that
the shape of the eyes.
The whole ocular area would probably be that. Cause I remember I've known you for so long that every time I see that, I'm like, or also, technically, like genetics wise, like with your family, it's there's like the similar features right there. And yeah. for me, that's why I'm okay, like I agree with you saying the eyes is because that's kind of the,
they stay the same.
Also with my family though, we also have the same sort of Neanderthal forehead kind of Cro-Magnon, you know, kind of guy thing too.
Sharp eyebrows. Yeah, it's like they come out. Yeah.
Maybe
me and my family all have like squinty eyes and laugh lines and stuff. We're really, really good looking people.
Yeah.
The handsome one is what they'll say
about Nick. What I like is you're on a first and last name basis.
Yeah.
You made it.
I
Brad Pitt, Tom
used
Cruise,
to hate that.
Did you?
I used to hate it.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Because I thought that it was. I was just insecure about me.
Yeah.
And I thought they were making fun of my name.
Yeah, it just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
There's so many Nicks.
Yeah.
But you're the only Nick Bush.
Nick Bush. Everyone I've ever meet, they always end up calling me Nick Bush. I don't tell them to call me that.
It just flows
off.
It just
flows.
It's like, oh, is Nick Bush going? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take it as a compliment.
I do.
Yeah.
I do now.
Yeah.
I own it. It's my name.
It's like, you don't call Brad Pitt Brad.
Right.
Call him Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt.
Do you? Is it? Well, I call him BP.
When I talk to him, I call him BP.
Yeah.
It's the Pitt.
Do you think like can you picture some producer or something like, let's get the Pit?
There's a dude out there I'm sure who calls him.
I call him. And then he's probably not in his job anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You were fired for calling Mr. Pitt the Pit.
Yeah.
Yeah. He let you go. Like he did?
Or you
did
delivered our food. You need to leave. I don't fucking work here.
But can you put on record why I got fired? Sure, buddy. Sure. Yeah, I fired for calling him the Pit. Worth it.
Worth it. Facebook answers. Samson Portillo says his most defining facial characteristic is his shame.
Sorry.
Travis Case.
Very true. No,
own that shit, dude. Yeah. Just own his shame. Just, look of shame.
Yeah, when you see Samson, he's already apologizing and he probably hasn't introduced
himself. Is he Canadian?
No, but he's ashamed of himself.
Travis Case said, I studied at the Belushi School of Eyebrows. So eyebrows it is. Pair them up with my eyes. I can convey just about anything non-verbally. So yeah, all about them eyebrows. Sir Ryan Timothy Bray says, when it's grown out, my beard. When it's shaved, my dimpled, chubby cheeks.
Oh, shave that beard, bro.
Yeah.
Get those dimpled cheeks out.
Ooh, them dimples. Samantha Lines-Rick says, my face kind of looks like a deflated potato that blinks.
Oh.
No.
That's so funny, though.
That's a great characteristic.
Deflated potato. Like a baked potato.
Like an old baked potato.
Over baked potato.
You left in the oven.
Yeah.
The potato you forgot you left in the oven.
Not like a mall baked potato. I know. Like grandma's baked potato.
Like me, but you know, it's still good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Still good. Yeah, absolutely.
Still adorable.
Oh, yeah.
Right, of course.
I'll bake that puppy twice.
Double baked potato. That's a thing.
I know. Carlos Castro says, the smirk on my full, luscious lips. All right.
Yeah,
all
right. Yeah, fucking right.
Block.
his pecs will unblock.
Really?
Matthew Wayne says, I think I have a pretty nice smile, but surprisingly women have pointed out my eyes usually define me. And I always thought brown eyes were boring. Yeah, that's right. See, you don't have brown eyes. No.
Shut up, pussy. You're afraid of the dark.
You remember that, huh? That's awesome.
I don't even know who this
is. It's the same dude you picked on earlier.
No, I know. He remembered his name.
Shut up, pussy. You're afraid of the dark. Women really like my eyes. Well, the dark fucking hates your soul.
God. Alfred Press says, I must look Chinese because people say I look ugly. U-G-L-E-E.
Aw, that's fucking stupid.
And Andrew Thomas says, my eyes.
Pee and coke.
Andrew Thomas says, my eyes and how close they are to each other.
So. Hey, there you go. Insult yourself, man.
That's what this is about, goddammit.
Yeah, that's what this is for.
Ladies say my...
At the dark!
Why do you hate Matthew Wayne so much?
I don't know. I never met him.
He's like, yes, we have.
Yeah, you probably met him like 5 times.
Absolutely, man.
Hey, nice to meet you, man. I listened to your show, and we've met like 5 times.
Oh, you're the person's friend in the dark.
I have a photo album with
shit
us.
Here's
10 photos with us two together.
Us with blow pops.
Right.
Is that your birthday party?
Pile of sour apples we didn't eat.
Us running away from the man in the sack.
So, yeah. DNA about our face. That's not funny.
DNA in the face. Google it.
In the face.
DNA in the face.
DNA in the face.
Damn it. All right. So,
Nick, we're so happy we finally got to get you on the podcast, and we did it on Skype, right? Like we had,
we tried to do it,
and it never happened. Well, I'm glad that we were able to do it in person. We've missed you, man. You're like family with us. We don't talk very often, but you know, you're always welcome here. You growing up with Regan, you know, obviously, you know, you guys have a close relationship, but I feel that we do too. And since this is your first time on the podcast, I'm sure you've already come to realize that this is an educational one.
Yes.
So we like to ask our guests and ourselves, what did we come to know? Throughout this podcast, what made you come to learn something about yourself, the world, or maybe just life in general? So ponder that for a second, mm-hmm. and we'll give it a thought. Jess, what did you come to know?
I've come to know that over the course of, like, you know, like we've been doing this for like 5 years, this podcast, we've built a nice, you know, list of people that like tuned in to get to know us. And at first it was like friends and family. Let me listen to what the horse shit these guys are saying. And then it built. People tuned in and like, these guys are all right. I like them. They're friends.
People we never met.
They reached out to us, messaged us, said, hey, I like your show. You guys are funny. I think you need to keep on doing what you're doing. Like Matthew here, for example.
I knew you were going to answer what my answer was going
to so,
be.
Isler came to know that Larry hates Matthew Wayne. Why? He didn't do anything.
I don't hate Matthew Wayne.
Why are you mean to him?
Who am I not mean to? I will preface that I am mean
that is
to
true.
People that I like very much.
That is true.
But right. I don't know Matthew Wayne, so fuck you. I'm just kidding. Matthew, please, thanks for participating, man.
Yeah, so that's what I can do.
He answered every question.
He did.
Yeah, and it's
greatly appreciated.
And
you know what? He's focused.
What number comment was he on the first
one? He was in the middle, but who knows?
Well, you know, Matthew, you should have been in the top of those comments. So.
Yeah, man. So come on.
Come on, bro.
He
did a good job.
It's not the algorithm's fault. It's your fault.
Yeah, but we appreciate you giving us your...
Much respect.
Your answer. And you know what? I'm
been a member of the Happy Camper since 2016.
That's what I'm saying.
No, and I appreciate it. But you know what? He's going to be like, if he is an avid listener, he's going to be like, fuck yeah, man. I got roasted by Larry.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly
where we're blocked. Yeah, that's what's going to end up happening. Matthew, I apologize, man. I just, you know, I react with my heart.
Yeah, this episode's the last Jedi of public access episodes, and he's no longer a fan. Ruined it.
Sorry, man.
I happen to like Matthew.
I happen to like The Last Jedi.
What I came to know is that green apples and sour apples are the fruit that deserves a civil rights movement. I think that they have been unjustly treated, and I think we should just be more out in the open with our love and respect for the sour
mistreated
apple.
By who though? No
the
one.
The kid from Charmed.
I think
more people secretly like sour apple.
Right.
If you get a sour apple Jolly Rancher,
yeah.
You're not going to spit it out.
No, you're
it's
not.
Great.
You're yeah. Not. But just people have been.
And
so
you might learn a lesson
it.
From this
absolutely.
Sour apple. Like, holy shit. I like sour.
I think the
my
problem,
grandpa taught me not to
exactly.
Like
I think the problem is their parents probably sure. didn't like sour apple,
right?
And so they told
because
them
because they were ingrained. It was ingrained yeah, it's in like, it was yeah. a throwaway fruit for a really long time. But you know what? This is June. It's Pride Month. You know what? Come out of the closet. Say how much you like sour apple. Hey, sour apple, I like you, man. You're green.
I've come to know that people love throwing hatchets. So while we've been doing this podcast here at the Alamo City Studios, we love the Alamo City Studios, but there has been, I guess there's like a, they're throwing hatchets next door.
Yeah.
Is there's like a hatchet throwing thing. And I've seen commercials on it recently. And it's a thing that people are doing now where you go buy some beers and it's like the Top Golf thing where instead of golfing though, you're throwing hatchets.
Right.
So that's been going on. Listeners, you haven't been able to hear it, but we've been able every once in a while it gets quiet. You'll hear a thunk.
Yay!
Of people throwing hatchets. So it's here. It's now. It's gotten to San Antonio. Nick, I don't know. I guess it's not big in L.A. You're not
it was probably big in L.A. five years ago.
Maybe.
That's why it's
so 2013.
Yeah. What are they throwing in L.A. now?
Cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers.
Dreamers.
Dreamers.
Oh. No, I heard Fish is coming back. Like throwing fish.
Like Muppets. Seattle? Yeah. Oh, like Lou.
Oh, no, like the Seattle fish market? Yeah.
No, not like New Zealand. Somebody get married. Yeah.
Hey, Jason Momoa threw some hatchets, and there's a viral video of him doing it.
Was he the one who started this all?
No, you know what? But he made it look good.
Instead of throwing a hatchet, Matt, I'd like to bury the hatchet. All right? Whoa. You're okay to be afraid of the dark, and it's okay for women to like your face.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's of the Wayne family. So.
Yeah. So, yeah. Wayne.
Nick, what did you come to know?
I've come to know that I really miss you guys.
Aww.
And I really enjoy talking with you guys. It's been so long since I've talked to both of you and Jess. And so that's what I've learned. I really wasn't listening to a lot of it.
That's right.
To we learn have people anything. That have... Just reacting off of what's being said. Right. Not taking everything in.
Yeah.
You know, just being here, being present. Why do I have to learn something?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, overrated. much like lukewarm eggs and sausages.
You got a spit bucket, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I could give you a bullshit answer.
Yeah.
No. I didn't learn a thing.
All right.
I had fun.
We've had a couple of those before. Like, I didn't learn anything.
I didn't learn shit.
Well, can we give Matthew Wayne like a little... jingle?
Oh,
nice. Jess has to come up with it, and then we'll harmonize.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Matthew Wayne, he's the guy who go to when you want someone to hate you. Matthew Wayne.
The Fresh Maker.
Matthew Wayne. Larry hates him.
No, I don't hate him. I just think that he's scared of the dark, bro.
He was scared, just like I was scared of Last Starfighter.
You're still probably afraid of it.
What's the carnation tagline? We need to end with that. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Matthew Wayne! You're going to hate him in an instant.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right. All right, man. Fuck you. Thanks for listening.
No!
Nick, if you would like listeners and followers and all that good stuff, you know, where can they follow you on social media?
I'm on Instagram at Nick Bush. All one word, obviously. And on Twitter at Nick Bush. Yeah. And check me out.
Check it out. You'll see him in a theater or the large and small screen near you.
Yeah. You've seen him.
You've already seen him.
And I have a website. You can look at all my stuff too. Nickbush.com.
The name's so nice, you got to say it twice.
It's Nick Bush/ free webspace / Chromecast dot.
He's in on it.
That Alta Vista / 11017826 dot ASX.
Even if you copy paste it, you're still gonna fuck that up.
That's how tough it is.
Shit, I didn't copy the slash. Fuck.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining us. Jess, what do we have going on with us?
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for listening to us once again on oneofus.net. We highly, super-duper appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening to us. If you want to learn more about us, guys, you can find us out more about us at comediaagogo.com. You can also be our friend and fan us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and # public access and join our public access Happy Campers Facebook page so you can answer questions with our fellow Happy Campers like Sir Ryan Timothy Brace or Matthew Wayne or Sarah Jessica Parker. All of our friends and fans love public access, and we love listening to your answers 100% on our show. We'd love to share it. Thank you for sharing your answers. Thank you for sharing time with us. Thanks.
Much thanks to you, Matt. I'm just giving you a hard time. Thank you so much for being a good sport. Hope you're a good sport. Nick, thank you so much. Don't be such a sour apple. Nick, such a pleasure. Thank you all for listening. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll see you in an instant. Here comes the fun! Here comes the fun!